Welcome to the Shide Show.
The what?
Shide Show.
What is it?
It is the Shide Show.
What is it?
It's a Shide Show.
What do you call it?
Welcome to the Shide Show.
What's it called?
It's the Shide Show.
Say it again.
One more Shide Show.
Who are you?
I am Brian Gerard.
I am Gregory
Hoyt. I am Robert Shide.
Shide Show.
Okay, we're done. What was the last book you guys read? Because I just finished a book today and it was great. It's awesome. Really good. Silence.
What is the last book? Are you asking it now?
Yeah.
Because it seems like you just want to talk about the book that you read.
No.
It doesn't really seem like
I'm asking you. I asked you a question.
I read.
I prefaced
it. I read the Tao Te Ching.
I read Jesus's Bible.
I'm actually reading the Bible.
Are you really?
And I'll tell you, Kings sucks.
Yeah. Well, wait. Kings sucks.
Kings.
Compared to
everything. I'm reading the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And God was so wrathful.
Yeah,
he would just wipe people out.
I know.
He'd be like, "Oh, you didn't follow what I said," and he'd like trick people, and then they'd do the wrong thing, as people tend to do.
Yeah,
and God would be like, "I'm going to curse your house forever."
Yeah, so your whole family in
forever
other words, right?
Of all time
with yeah. deep vengeance and furious anger.
And that's right. Not something you can get away with by just changing your last name. That's,
no, it's going to follow you.
Yeah, it's going to follow
God
you.
Knows.
Right.
So the Old Testament's some hardcore shit. But the Tao Te Ching.
Yes.
Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
Have you, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Have I shared some of the... I think
well,
I have, yeah,
wait
some
a
Tao
second.
Te Ching,
I, now, I've read like the Tao of what is it? The Tao of Pooh and the Day
no, no.
of Piglet, which I thought was
maybe.
Created around those philosophies.
Oh, of maybe.
Buddhism and...
Yeah. It could. This particular Tao Te Ching that I'm reading
yeah.
is a translation by this guy named Stephen Mitchell.
Okay.
And it's great.
Really?
It's so good, man. It's such an odd book.
Tell
I've
me
had
about it. What, I mean, what,
the Tao Te Ching
is
by – it's an ancient book that they don't know a lot about the writer of the book.
Uh-huh.
Sun Tzu, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Was
Sun Tzu. Okay.
His name, they think. I mean, and it's a book almost –
because he did The Art of War as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
which I read.
It might be Lao Tzu. It's not the guy that did The Art of War.
Oh, okay.
It's a different guy. But they don't know a lot about him. And he dropped this wisdom into this book. And it's not, you know, it's not obviously English isn't its first language. So it's translated. And a lot of the translations have huge differences in the English language. So back when I was looking into it, I had read one of the poems basically. And, yeah, it is Lao Tzu, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I read one of the poems in a bookstore one day in this Stephen Mitchell translation.
Okay.
And it blew my mind.
Now, wait. So just so we can clarify, these are books of poetry.
Essentially.
Or they're phrases, they're
It's kind of hard to explain. It's not like they're even poems. It's
are
not
they
like
parables?
They're couplets.
Are they?
It's like parables. And they're these things that you read and you're like – You get it on a beyond an intellectual place. It's a feeling thing where you're like, oh. And I experienced incredible relaxation reading this book. An incredible like sense of relief reading this book the first time.
Do you
and
have-
sometimes I'll pick it up on a bad day. I'll pick it up. I'll open it to – I have a few favorites. And I'll pick it up to maybe read one of my favorites, and inevitably I feel better afterwards.
Well, I've just pulled up a couple quotes, and they're very, very inspiring. For example, be the chief, but never the lord. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. But see, they're not like – it's kind of you take what you get from it.
Right.
You know, it's not telling you how to live your life or anything, but it's just – you know, it's just really interesting. It makes you think.
From wonder into wonder, existence opens.
That's pretty profound.
Ying Mang Mao.
That last part was, I think, added.
I think you're adding that last part.
And how about this one? An ant on the move does more than a dozing ox.
Hello, right?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
So
I'm like the ant.
An ant on the move.
I read a lot of books. Look, man, I have you guys know that I have a pretty active inner life that sometimes can take over.
Now, can you just take a minute and describe what you mean by an
active inner life.
Yes. He's paranoid schizophrenic.
I just want him to say.
Oh, okay. I'm paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
No, I have certainly times, gone through times and, you know, go through times where I spend a lot of time trying to figure it all out and getting caught up in my mind and, you know, just feeling like overwhelmed about what does it all mean and, you know, why is there water on the moon and no one's talking about it and those kinds of things. And so what I have taken to is finding books, people, ideas that help to give me a different
sort of inner peace.
Yeah, inner peace. And just like point to the fact that I'm not the only one that's felt these things before.
Sure.
That billions of people have come before us and have had similar experiences of feeling overwhelmed and lost and all that kind of stuff. And that there are places that you can go. And even in the Bible – I'm reading the Old Testament now because I had gone through a lot of, like, the Bible and seen some stuff that I actually really liked.
Yeah.
I had been kind of picking and choosing stuff that would apply to my life, and there were some things that really were good. I just kind of – that's what I read – based my book choices on lately. I haven't really read a book except for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I read all of those.
And by the way, that's the book I just finished.
Oh,
I finished all three of those.
Me too. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Steve Larson.
So
and you know, there was a rumor that there are two more unfinished manuscripts. Or they're close to being finished. They just haven't been edited.
There's a war over it because all the money now.
Yeah. Right, which is unfortunate. But great series.
Yeah,
great
totally. Series. Now, Brian, I remember back in the day you were going through some personal trouble and you went to the Bahamas and read a book by a friend of ours named Eckhart Tolle.
You know, now, I've never read any of his books.
I've read two.
I wanted to say that I have heard a lot about his – it's like The Power of Now.
Yeah,
is that
Power
as
of
well?
Now.
And there's another one.
Called A New Earth.
New Earth, yeah.
Yeah. So you read them and did it change your life? Because I hope I'm not looking at the changed life right now. No, I was just joking.
Wow. I think the purpose, the thing that I pulled out of it is that you don't live a changed life. Your life becomes just a constant form of transformation.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not an arrival. You don't arrive and be like, oh, okay, thank you for that, Eckhart.
Right.
I'm going to now shut the light off.
Right.
And when I turn it back on, I will be
super
brand new again.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. Ever constant
it's
journey,
constant.
Transformation.
It's constant and it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's constant and it's an everyday thing. It can be a hard struggle, and some days seem a little easier than others.
Yeah.
Other days, I want to run with my face on fire into the woods and never to return and never to know wherever I have gone.
That's not very Eckhart Tolle.
No, it isn't at all.
Which is not Eckhart Tolle
at all.
Inspired.
Because all Eckhart Tolle is like this.
It's only the now. You will never – there will never be – a future moment other than this. We spend our whole lives chasing a golden carrot out in front of us on a stick. If I get this thing, maybe then I'll be complete. But all there ever is and ever will be is the present moment.
Well,
that's what Eckhart talks about.
He talks about a golden carrot.
Well, and if you listen, there's a great recording of The Power of Now, and he talks about Michael Jackson.
Mm.
Does he?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And it's a really great, cool little – it's very quick. Very
There's
quick
a thing
actually.
About he does – he reads The Power of Now or he just talks about it?
He talks about it. It's kind of like audio.
You were supposed to bring me those – remember that?
Yeah.
You were supposed to give me those CDs that you had like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And you never did?
No.
Yeah. Well, that
because
would be piracy anyway.
Because if you want them, you can go buy them.
Yep.
No. Okay. Why?
Because you're supporting Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, that's right.
You know what he would say? He would say
– thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for Gregory for thank you, Gregory, for purchasing my CDs for me. What? I don't know.
Exactly. I don't need this money, but I thank you for it.
I thank you because you're helping me move forward in my life.
I can enjoy this money.
And this Lamborghini Countach.
I'm not attached to the Lamborghini Countach, but
do you have a Lamborghini today? It's gone. And you're driving a Honda Civic.
He's great, man.
Yeah.
It's really great. He does this thing on Michael Jackson where he talks about how, you know, Michael Jackson, though an odd bird.
Yeah.
And potentially a pedophile.
Maybe. In some circles.
Yeah.
How when he is creating music, when he is performing music, he is in the ultimate state of existence.
in its unconscious state. He is fully expressing and being exactly who he is in that moment.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think about it. And if Michael, when you talk to Michael Jackson about it, or you, and there's, I mean, any artists, musicians, athletes, people who just do what they do.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of thinking involved.
Yeah.
When he's on stage singing Dirty Diana, he's just doing it. And it goes through his body and it goes through his vocal cords, his physicality and all that. But then when he's done that and he's trying to be around people, he's socially awkward. Because he doesn't really know how to be, because that's an uncomfortable thing for him, because it goes against the very essence of who he is, and the true essence of who he is as a performer. Pretty weird. Yes.
Does this make you sad? You seem sad when you're telling that story,
yeah, right? Well, a little bit. Well, it makes me – it doesn't make me sad. It just – you know, there's I think the story of Michael Jackson specifically just really illustrates the struggle that it can be. And, you know, that's a dude who struggles his whole life and then ultimately died struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like one of the most powerful, influential, most inspired dudes that has ever been part of our existence. And, he died kind of a fucked up way.
Yeah, but he's dead, you know, and we all die. That's right. The thing. That's the thing that's fucked up about Michael Jackson dying or anyone like that dying, where you're just – or John F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King. You're just like, wait – it seems like they're beyond death, but the harsh truth of life is that everybody dies.
So Eckhart Tolle was the last book that you read, is that right? Or
no, I'm reading I read that book. It wasn't the last book I read. I'm reading a book right now, which I haven't finished yet, and I don't even know the name of the book.
Oh my God.
Oh,
wait, are you reading this book while you drive?
You don't know the name of it.
While you audition, during the auditions?
It's got pictures in it with roads, and it tells me where to go. That's a map, Ryan. That's a map.
Do I sound like that when I talk to you?
Yeah, that's your
map. Do I say, I got pictures in the map.
I got pictures in the map in
my car, and I say, where's this all going? Where's Robert think this is going? It's going, where am I going south?
Spiral bounding.
Ooh, Florida. I don't know about those roads. Let me just check it out. No,
I don't sound like that.
Oh, okay.
But I hesitate to tell you because you guys are going to be like, what the F is wrong with you? I'm reading a book on copyright law.
Oh, my God. You are so off base.
What? Look, Greg.
I am so off base.
Stop judging him. Stop it.
Why are you reading a book on copyright law?
Because I'm fascinated by it.
Oh, maybe you're a lawyer?
Maybe. I don't know. I think we're in a very interesting time.
Yeah,
where technology and intellectual property
are you looking into copyright law because you're getting fucked in the ass in this situation?
I think that helps inspire me to pick up the book. Yeah,
because you were like, "Wow, I'm getting fucked here," and something that I created.
Well, I'm not getting fucked. I just help understand better of the business of intellectual property, which is the business I happen to be in,
right?
And how that really plays out.
It's a tough world. It's a very tough world.
It's the Wild West. It's more of the Wild West than we know about. But it's changing very rapidly due to the technology that exists today. I ultimately think that the governmental laws are not going to be able to keep up with technology, and the laws are archaic and old and don't mean anything, and they become irrelevant, and the people will rise to the occasion, much like they did in Texas.
And the Alamo?
Sure.
Okay.
Davy Crockett.
All right. Well, you know, I'm in agreement with you, Greg, on what you were talking about. I do enjoy coming across a book that
– thank you, Robert.
With like several sentences can completely just make me stop, put the book down and think, you know, and I find that – I think that when I read like the Tao of Pooh and the Day of Piglet, which I believe they were
– yeah, I'm sure they come off of that. Yeah,
That made me feel that way as well.
Yeah, it's great.
It was really great.
I think what surprised me is that I for a long time I felt my ego would make me feel stupid because I'd have to keep looking at the books. Like I always thought,
right,
I'll read this book and it'll be a magic bullet. And then I'll feel good for the rest of my life.
Right.
And then life would happen. I'd be like, I don't want to look at that book again because what an idiot to have to look at this book again.
It's a study.
You know, just was like, forget it. Get over yourself. Went and picked up the book. And that's how I also write in a journal every morning. I do a lot of stuff to get out of my head, man. I have to work pretty hard to get out of my own way.
That's great.
But I just, you know, that's worth it to me.
Sure.
Because feeling good is the best. Well-being is the best thing in life, I think.
Mental well-being.
Mental well-being.
Being at peace with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being, and you know, I think maybe I've said this on the show before, or I've said it to you guys. Peace of mind is the greatest gift that you can ever have in life, and you don't even realize it until it's gone. Like, you go and you fucking are texting in your car and you smoke somebody. All you want after that is to go back to all your stupid, irrelevant problems before you ran the girl over while you were texting.
Yeah.
Because that's peace of mind.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest blessings and the simplest things. We're really get caught up in all these other things.
Blinded by everything else, making one other person respect you more, whoever that may be. Yeah. But it is all about your own personal journey.
But just being able to wake up in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And be like, oh my God, what am I going to do today? What that's kind of exciting. Like, even the fear of like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make money today? How am I going to pay rent? A lot of people in our country, in the world, are going through those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to remember, if you can get there, that the work of feeling good about yourself and that, you know, the work of like trying to be as good as you can and feel good about who you are and what you're saying and all that jazz is the most important thing you can do. Mm. If you have that.
That's but the problem is that there are a lot of people who they don't even get there. And they don't get there. We talk about – I think I've mentioned Maslow's hierarchy of needs before.
No, maybe. But
Maslow's hierarchy of needs is that you cannot get to the top of this pyramid until you have fulfilled the bottom levels of the pyramid. The top of the pyramid is self-actualization, and that's where you're working on – you have morality, work on creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, all that stuff. At the very bottom of the pyramid – is the physiological needs, breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, all that stuff is at the bottom. And then you work your way up. The next thing is safety. So if you don't feel safe, you can't work on the next thing, which is love and belonging. That's friendship, family, sexual intimacy. And then above that is esteem. You work on self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others, and only after you've been able to sort of get through all that, you are able to – this is his theory – that you are able to get to the top where you have self-actualization and you can focus on creativity and all that stuff.
I think
it's a really great philosophy, a good idea.
But yet theory. It looks like – we're looking at it on the computer. It looks like you could kind of vary day to day in between those levels.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
But if you are out there freaking out about being able to, how am I going to pay rent? You cannot be thinking about being creative. How can you go and paint a picture when you have an honest fear, honest actual fear that you will not be able to
have
a roof over your head. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right. And it's for these same reasons that you look into neighborhoods, I think, and some of these neighborhoods look like shit. There's trash everywhere. They don't keep up. And that's because they're not at a point where
they can even deal with that,
that they're even looking at that. And it's unfortunate. They are focused on being able to survive in a neighborhood. And everybody else who can pay for that stuff will look and say, well, why aren't you looking around you, when they're looking at being able to survive the next day? It's sad. I don't have a solution for it, but that's what I see.
What are we talking about this show?
Well, we're talking about
books. About all sorts of stuff.
Books. Yeah, clearly.
We're just talking about books.
It was good to talk to you guys. Sometimes it's just good to talk to you guys.
Yeah. I like that.
Do you like it, Ryan? It's almost like we went to the library and I gave you my library card and you scanned it.
Yeah.
And then you said that there was a 40-year-old woman around the corner in the stacks that wanted to meet me. So I took my books and I put in my book bag and I went around the corner and I said, hey, Greg sent me over here.
What are you?
I'm Brian. Greg said to come say hello.
What's Greg?
Take off your pants.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's it for the Shide Show. I'm Robert Shide.
My pants are off. My pants are off, sir.
I'm Robert Shide.
Walk slowly towards the window.
Okay.
That was Brian Gerard.
Why am I going towards the window, sir? My pants are around my ankles. I have trouble walking now.
Don't trip.
And somewhere in here is Gregory Hoyt.
Hi.
Thanks. It's been the Shide Show.
It has been.
It's been.
Yay!
Walk slower.
Why are you pushing me?
Shh.
Don't push me out the window.